As a 12-year-old boy, I had no interest in the opposite sex at all. My life revolved around Star Trek, Monty Python, Rent-A-Ghost, The $6 Million Man, and The Water Margin, with Lin Chung fighting to save Lang Shang Po from the evil clutches of Cao Chu. And then, because of a small A5-sized book, everything changed, and life was never the same again. The author Anne Refree once said, "A woman whose smile is open, whose expression is glad, has a kind of beauty no matter what she wears," which was just as well, as it all started when I found a mucky magazine in the waste bin of the shop beside our house. The ladies between the pages were indeed very beautiful. And their lack of clothing left very little to the imagination, but it was all done in the best possible taste. One might even have said artistic. And it was as if they were looking into my very soul saying, "Hey, big boy, what you doing?" Keeping my lovely lady safe became my biggest problem. Where could I safely hide my magazine so my parents could never find it? Every possible hiding site had a risk of discovery. And so every day the offending missile had to be moved like a prisoner under a witness protection scheme to a new safe house to avoid discovery. Secreting the magazine safely somewhere within the confines of the house was becoming a major problem until I found what I thought was the perfect hiding place. In our bathroom, the sink had a long curving pedestal that supported the basin above. Given the mucky mag's size, it fitted perfectly at the back of the pedestal, held in place by the piping. It was perfect. No matter what angle you looked at the pedestal, the magazine was hidden from view. So worry of discovery now abated, I could relax when I left home for school, safe in the knowledge that I would not come home to the Spanish Inquisition. Or so I thought. My mother was a very house-proud woman who cleaned our home regularly from top to bottom. On the Saturday in question, Mother was cleaning the bathroom. Someone had dropped a big dollop of toothpaste on the bathroom floor just at the base of the pedestal. And it seems she was power mopping the spot to remove it. This involved banging the mop against the bottom of the pedestal. Between the banging of the mop head and its associated vibrations, the unthinkable happened. My mucky magazine was shaken from its secure tether and fell to the bathroom floor, the beauties inside exposed for the world to see. As this was happening, my father, two brothers and I were in the living room. We were watching Star Trek in front of a lovely coal fire that had been banked with nutty slack, but which was aglow with the red coals after my father had poked the fire. To say my mother entered that room like a she-devil possessed would be unfair to the paranormal realms of this universe. She was much worse. She screamed, "Whose is this?" simultaneously waving the offending mucky mag around in her hand. She accused her three sons in descending order of age for being responsible for this filth having entered her house, whilst all three of us denied any knowledge of the pornographic publication or how it had somehow managed to find its way into the house and, more importantly, into the bathroom. At one point, while berating us, she handed the magazine to my father, saying, "Jesus, Mary and Joseph, look at them. The bloody..." She now paused, trying to think of the strongest word she could use in front of us that didn't end with the letters K-E-R-S. And in the end, the best she could come up with were the words, "Filthy hussies," her revulsion evident for all to see. Now, God love him, as my father flicked through the pages, he quite forgot himself and was temporarily transported into a parallel universe populated with heavenly bodies and celestial spheres. His eyes began to widen and a smile broke out on his face and his head started to nod appreciatively as he clearly started to enjoy the festival of flesh, quite forgetting himself in the moment, seduced by the salacious sirens succumbing to their charms. I think he was just at the point where in his head he was saying the words, "All right, all right, all right," when my mother realized what was happening, stopped mid-rant and gave him the sort of look only a woman can give when she catches her man red-handed enjoying forbidden fruit. She grabbed the magazine back from his hands, Now, realizing he had been caught and that the bubble had well and truly been burst on his parallel universe, he duly reset his face to stunned, then disapproval, shaking his head in disgust, tutting while looking for approval for his revised stance on the matter. But he fooled no one. With the magazine now rolled up in her hand, my mother opted for Plan B. The B stood for battery. It was an attempt to beat a confession out of us, using the mucky mag as her weapon of choice. Who, thwack, owns, thwack, this, thwack, magazine, thwack. With each thwack to the head, she would stare close into the face of the thwacky, looking for the merest sign of a twitch or any sign of guilt. She deployed the rolled-up magazine in a manner which strongly suggested that she had taken an open learning masterclass in interrogation techniques with the RUC at the Castlereagh holding station. And unbeknownst to us, had also been fitted with a bionic arm. She systematically attempted to beat a confession out of her progeny. And by the end, I actually struggled to remember my name. Never mind what book she was referring to. And I think at one point I asked, could I get some crayons to colour it in? Again and again, between the thwacking sounds of paper against flesh, she was met with overwhelming cries of innocence and ignorance of how the magazine got into the house. At one point in the interrogation, the finger of suspicion started to point paternally towards my father, who had already been caught pursuing and enjoying the fleshy folio. Now, his wife and the three innocent, battered faces of his sons stared back accusingly at him. And now he was the one on the back foot. Realizing this predicament, he raised his hands in the air, exclaiming, "Now hold on, this has feck all to do with me." He was the one now having to protest his innocence. But he did it so forcibly, everyone believed him. But I thought he deserved at least one thwack, just to be sure. But the focus returned back to his progeny, who now cowered in fear of another round of book battering interrogation techniques. Exasperated by our lack of progress, my mother suddenly announced, "There's only one place for this filth," and she winged the magazine straight into the fire. Now, they say hindsight is a wonderful thing, but when my mother threw the magazine into the fire, it landed flat down against the bank, nutty slack. The fruity cover on full display. What happened next must have seemed like an anathema to her. As the fire caught hold of the magazine, the front page burnt first, and it seemed as if fetid fairy fingers were flicking through the magazine, turning each page one last time before consuming it, allowing us all one final showcase of the beauties within. The brother nearest the fire was encapsulated watching this spectacle intently until he received a loud slap to the side of his head. My mother stood watching the untouchable, scorching sex show which was now on display on her hearth. Realizing she was powerless to prevent it, she roared, "Get out, all of you. Get up them fucking stairs into your bedrooms till I call you." As we slowly, and I mean very, very slowly, left the room, we all had one last glance into the fire at the red, hot, tempestuous images as they were consumed by the flames. My father was secretly enjoying this second show, but had the sense not to show any emotion this time. He garnered himself some brownie points by poking the book in order to push it further back into the flames, but the page turning merely increased, and against all the odds, the show continued. Whilst he had his face set to consternation, his eyes gave him away, their warmth showing he was an admirer of the beauty of the female form. At dinner that evening, my older brother was pronounced guilty of the charge of possessing pornographic pamphlets likely to cause offence to good Catholic mothers. The only evidence against him was his age, as his two younger brothers were deemed too naive to be aware of such filth. For the life of me, I cannot remember the punishment for his perversions, but to anyone who would listen, he maintained his innocence. My father never mentioned it to us again. Nope. No doubt he was thinking that this is one of those rites of passage moments for boys. And by doing so, he managed to avoid having to attempt the dreaded birds and bees conversation. No, that was not happening on his watch. Angela McNamara and her various pamphlets could handle that one. The incident and the pain from our beating, as with all things, faded from memory over time. but my days of blissful innocence were gone. Suddenly, I had a newfound interest in programs like Charlie's Angels. I, Claudius, for the nudie bits. Purdy from the New Avengers became my new unrequited love, and Hot Gossip became my favourite dancers. There were opportunities to view other publications, which were of a more fruity persuasion. However, I never risked smuggling another mucky mag into the house again, as I couldn't face another round of pleasure and pain interrogations. Besides, my newfound interest in the beauty of the female form meant I had also discovered that at home there was a publication that was exempt from any moral adjudications. The ladies in the audience are now probably confused, wondering what I'm talking about. But the gentlemen in the audience of a certain ilk will know exactly what I'm referring to. Yes, I refer to that bastion of teenage lust and engorgement, the ladies' underwear section of the Freeman's catalogue. Thank you.
Oh, God, Kieran. You dirty lurgan hellion.